You're listening to the Footglish podcast. Love football, learn English.
The new Premier League season is here. Can Liverpool keep their crown, or is a new champion waiting in the wings? Which promoted side has what it takes to stay up? Are West Ham set for a step forward or a stumble? And what's the real meaning behind fall through? Hello and welcome to this pre-season special of the Footglish podcast. I'm Zdeněk Lukas, and here on the Footglish podcast, we mix football and English like Pep Guardiola mixes formations. Sometimes genius, sometimes complete nonsense, but always worth watching or listening to, because this is a YouTube video, but also an audio podcast. And as always, we've got a guest, and today is none other than Ben from the To The Point English YouTube channel. Ben, welcome back to the podcast.
Hi, Zdeněk. Thank you for having me on again. It's a pleasure to be here, as always.
Lovely to have you back. And The first question is obvious. The Premier League season is here. It's starting this weekend. So are you buzzing for it?
Yes, I'm trying to get up. To be honest, and I think I'm getting old, and I don't want to be a grumpy old man, but I found last season was probably the most boring season for a long time, especially as a West Ham fan. I mean, it was just a nothing season. We weren't in Europe. We did nothing. You know, the only special aspect of last season for West Ham was that we finished above Man United and Tottenham, which is surprising, because I think we finished 15th and they were 16th and 17th. So I'm trying. I mean, there are interesting things that can happen next season. So I'm trying to get worked up for it. But hopefully West Ham can at least just survive in the Premier League for another season. I think that's the objective at the moment.
I feel you. I have to say, I had a bit of a crisis myself. I think I was just overwhelmed with football last season.
Right.
And then, I mean, in the spring part of the season, I realized that I had been watching less and less of football. Mm-hmm. And even episodes of this podcast were less frequent. So I think maybe we are just like sort of bombarded by so much football that it's just untenable for us. We can't take it anymore. I don't know.
I think it's very different. I mean, I am old enough to remember like the 90s. That was the peak when the Premier League started, for example. And I just remember a lot of legends and characters in the game, like Cantona, Gascoigne, even Ginola or Henri. A lot of nowadays, it doesn't seem. I mean, you have fantastic players, amazing players like Salah and Haaland and De Bruyne, and loads of great quality players. But I think it's also the style of football is more technical nowadays. It's probably a higher level of, you know, just better football in general. But for me, it's not as exciting. I think it's partly because I'm a grumpy old man too. So it's just that,
Me too, probably.
Yeah.
But despite all that, right?
Yeah.
I think when there is a new season, it feels kind of like a fresh start. Like you're turning over a new leaf, right? And
it's all
sort of like happening, starting again. And I think beginnings are always nice. Whether it's a relationship or starting a new podcast or listening to a new podcast. Hopefully, if you guys are new listeners, don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget, right? And it's always nice. It's like that honeymoon period, right?
I like the fact that Crystal Palace won the Community Shield. I think that's a good start, because it's not just going to be the same. You know, usually it's Man City or Liverpool any of the other big teams, and so that makes it a little bit more interesting, and hopefully it won't be like last season. I mean, I guess last season was interesting because you had Man United and Tottenham almost getting relegated, but I don't think they were never really in danger of getting relegated. They just focused their attention on the Europa League, but it's always the start of the season is always interesting when you've got all the new players coming in and you're seeing how they're going to fit in and how
exactly
which players are going to stand out, because you expect Haaland and Salah and those to start scoring goals, but it doesn't always happen that way.
And as a football fan, basically everybody's at the starting line. Like when you are about to run in a marathon, you all have kind of the same chance, right, to win it. I mean, you don't really, but you know what I mean. It feels like everybody has 0 points. So
yeah, whatever happened last season, you kind of forget about that. Exactly. I'm sure, again, like Tottenham and Man United fans will be thinking they can qualify for Europe at the Champions League, probably, even though they were almost relegated last year. So I mean, I know what you mean. Yeah, every team has different objectives. As I still think that although West Ham were in Europe a couple of seasons ago, our objective every year is just to not get relegated. And I think, you know, all the three teams that got promoted, they're always the favourites to get relegated, and they'll just have to do their best to fight.
Speaking of which, why don't we do our predictions here?
Okay, yeah, sure.
Here and now, and perhaps we could start with the winner of the Premier League. Who do you think will clinch the title this time? So last season it was the Liverpool, so they are the current holders, as we say.
Yeah.
So do you think they will reclaim the title?
I think that they're definitely favourites, but I'm gonna be a little bit controversial, and I think Arsenal's time might be coming. I think, I know it'll make you happy, but
you can come on this podcast anytime.
Well, I just get a feeling that Liverpool, I don't know, because they were great last year, but I think Arsenal, it might just all come together this year, and Arteta might just make everything click. I think they've made some new signings, some interesting new signings. I can't couldn't tell you the names, but
Victor Gyökeres, the striker, I think is the biggest name probably from the Portuguese league.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some other names like Madueke and Zubimendi.
Uh-huh.
And I'm probably forgetting about some more as well, but those would be, I guess, the biggest names.
And they've still got they've got Rice and Saka and the quality and the really good defensive players. So
true.
Maybe it will all click for Arsenal. And I mean, you can't ignore Liverpool. That I think they're probably the best team in Europe, perhaps. I don't know. That's maybe going a little bit too far. But on paper, Liverpool are probably the best team in the Premier League. But I've got a feeling about Arsenal this season.
Liverpool, they were really dominant last year, and I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they won it again, especially since they got such amazing signings, such as Florian Wirtz. I mean, he's a German wonder kid. Mm-hmm, and I was watching him because there's a Czech player at Bayer Leverkusen, Patrick Schick. So I was watching some Leverkusen games. And this guy, this Florian Wirtz, oh my God, he's something else.
Yeah.
He is a real deal for Liverpool. But you know what? I think there is this, of course, sad, really, really tragic moment for Liverpool when they lost Diego Jota, because he had a car accident and he passed away. So I think that's something that they have to get over as well. And who knows what will happen this year. And
you don't know how those kind of things can affect a team. Obviously, it's tragic, him and his brother passing away in the car accident. And that's the most important thing. But, you know, Liverpool have to now, maybe and partly for him, you know, try to regather, and it can have a bonding effect on the team, and you know, it's like literally that. Let's do it for Jota, and it gives them that extra that's motivation.
Motivational,
or it may be a distraction. Who knows? But we'll see as the season progresses. But
exactly, it could go either way. But also, we have Manchester City. I would say they have something to prove as well, right? Pep Guardiola, I think, isn't this his last season or something? Hasn't he announced a while back that this would be his last season?
I read something about that. I don't know if it's official yet, but I think he was talking about it. Yeah, I think he's not the kind of person that would. I think it depends on how they, if they win the Premier League, he'll probably say that's the last season.
He wants to leave on a high, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's so competitive, I think. Yeah.
He is extremely competitive and he's used to winning. And obviously, I mean, a blip can happen, right, to anyone. So I think one season where things didn't go well for them, that's fine. But now I'm sure he wants to be back. I'm sure he will do anything he can to make that happen. And also we should mention probably Chelsea because they won the Club World Cup. Mm-hmm. No matter what you think about that competition, mm-hmm. it still has some sort of significance, I think. And to say the least, it has probably improved their confidence, hasn't mm-hmm. it?
Yeah, if nothing else, it's improved their confidence. And Chelsea are such a strange team with so many players out on loan. It's difficult to know what they're going to do. But you can't ignore them. You can't ignore Man City. You can't even ignore Man United and Tottenham. I don't think they're going to be pushing for the title, but I think, you know, there's so many big clubs in England.
I'm not sure, but if you look at Tottenham, they made a lot of changes. Like, look at their signings. Mm. They've got some really big names now. Mm-hmm. And also, they have a new manager, right? Mm-hmm. So Thomas Frank, I think, is Premier League proven, and he did an amazing job at Brentford. So
But if anyone can do it, it could be
him, you know. And then with these new signings, new energy, don't you think that they might be strong this time?
Well, you say if anyone can do it, it might be him, but I seem to remember people saying that about Mourinho and Conte and Pochettino and
Postecoglou.
And they're all good managers, fantastic managers, but it's almost seems like an impossible job. I mean, they did win. What did they win last year? They won.
They won
the Europa League. Yeah,
they won Europa League. So you know, if they now won a trophy, we have always been making fun of them, for not winning anything. But if they now manage to win a trophy, anything could happen.
But they win a trophy finally, and they sack their manager immediately. So that's a
typical Tottenham.
It was a strange season, wasn't it? They finally won a trophy, but they almost got relegated at the same time. So it's strange.
Top four: Liverpool, Manchester City, Arsenal, and then do you think Chelsea or who do you think will be there?
It's difficult. I'd like to be interesting and say something. I mean, Newcastle could be up there, but Notts Forest did really well last year, but I can't see them maintaining it. So you can't look past those four teams. I think for me, it's Arsenal maybe to win it, Liverpool, City second and third. Yeah, unfortunately, it's probably Chelsea. But I mean, maybe Man United. I mean, Amorim, is that his name?
Amorim? Yeah, Ruben Amorim.
He's I don't know.
It's cooking something for us.
Yeah, maybe he's worked it out. Finally cracked the code.
They bought Mbeumo, right? Bram Mbeumo.
Mbeumo. And someone else,
I don't have it here in front of me, but you always have some changes in teams and it could, do something with the...
I think it's a bit like Tottenham. At the moment, there's a problem, an intrinsic problem with the culture of Man United. It doesn't matter who the manager is. To a certain extent, it doesn't matter who the players are. There's something...
But that is true. Deeper. There's something rotten there.
As
Gary Neville would say. So it's true. It's true. How about the newly promoted teams? So you mentioned that they might be favourites to get relegated. So we've got Burnley. Leeds United with a lot of Premier League experience. Of course, these teams are yo-yo clubs, you could say. Burnley and what was the other one?
Leeds, you said?
Leeds United, of course. And then we have got one team that is coming back after a longer break, and that's Sunderland. Mm-hmm. And obviously, everybody knows the documentary, Sunderland Till I Die. So I think this is a big story as well. Mm-hmm. And they bought Granit Xhaka, I think, from Leverkusen, and ex-Arsenal players. So, you never know. It might not be all of them going down this time.
Well, I hope not, because if that's just what always happens, then it becomes very predictable and a bit boring. Yeah. And for those teams, it's a bit demoralizing. And, for the fans, they get, the 1 year in the Premier League and then they've got to go back down. I mean, I don't know. It's just not good for football, I think, if the same teams that get promoted get relegated again. There's something wrong with the structure there, the infrastructure. So yeah, hopefully they won't. All, I mean, as long as West Ham don't go down, I would be happy if there three different teams, not the same
makes
teams.
Makes sense. Golden boot?
Callum Wilson.
No. I think you're being sarcastic here because I think West Ham fans, they are not happy about this signing.
Not really. It's just a nothing signing, really. It's a typical West Ham nothing signing. Golden boot. Maybe Isak or Haaland. Salah, obviously, Salah will be up there, but he's going to have. He had a great season last year, I think, but he's going to
be Haaland again, right?
Haaland has to come back.
He has to prove himself again, I think. So it might be him.
Yeah, but Isak, it looks like Isak's staying at Newcastle in the end. So maybe if he's gone, I think so. Yeah, well, I don't know, but anything can happen in these last few weeks. Haaland, I think you can't look past Haaland.
All right. So let me ask you a few questions about West Ham now. So there's a connection. You know, I'm from the Czech Republic. So there's a connection to the Czech league again because you bought a player called El Hadji Malik Diouf who played for Slavia Prague and he was like the best player of the league, to be honest. So what do you make of him? Did you watch any preseason friendlies?
I've seen a little bit, not much, but he looks very good. Yeah, he's I'm quite excited about him. We have some kind of connection with Slavia Prague because with Suchek. Oh my God, he's just left and I can't remember his name.
Tofal. He also left the club. So
exactly, he left the club. Yeah, and he's a legend of West Ham. After I think he was 4 or 5 years at West Ham. He's very
not
popular,
sure about. A status of a legend, but I think he stayed in some fans' hearts, and that's
popular,
good enough.
Very popular. Yeah,
that's good enough.
And Suchet, El Hadj, I can't pronounce his whole name yet.
El Hadji Malik Diouf. So he's a winger, left winger, a left footed left winger, which is always a hot property. And he's fast, he has amazing crossing ability and good decision making. But also, we have to say he's only 20 years old. Mm-hmm. So there will still be, I think he will need some bedding, like there will have to be a bedding period, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think in one preseason friendly, we won, I don't know if it was 2-0 or 2-1, and he provided both the crosses and the amazing crosses for the goals. And with Füllkrug, a big German striker, he didn't do much last season, but if they're putting crosses onto his head like that, then. He could get a few goals. It could be interesting. I'm quite happy about that signing and optimistic.
I think also we need to mention Paqueta, Lucas Paqueta, the midfielder, creative midfielder, who was cleared of his match spot fixing charges, max fixing or spot fixing charges. Yeah. So I think that's definitely good news for you as well.
Isn't it? Of course. Yeah, and hopefully he can focus on football now, because I think he possibly has been a bit distracted over the last couple of seasons. And hopefully West Ham will be compensated for that, because it's disgusting if he's been found completely innocent of all match fixing charges. Then it's clear that first of all, he was linked to Man City a couple of seasons ago. We were going to sell him for quite a lot of money. That fell through because of these charges. Yes. And I think he hasn't been the player he could have been.
Exactly.
Due to these charges. So, I mean, he's an amazing player. He's a regular in the Brazilian national team. So, I think every big team, I know West Ham are maybe not a big team, but you need a player like Paqueta, sort of a playmaker that can make things happen in the centre of midfield. True. So I'm glad if it hadn't been, if it hadn't been for these match-fixing charges, he wouldn't be a West Ham player now. We would have sold him at least a season ago.
It kind of worked out for you. But what didn't work out? Well, it's a question. Did it work out for you? Because you sold Mohamed Kudus. So is that a good thing? Because you made a lot of money. Like, it's not you, the fan, who made the money. It's the club.
It depends what they do with that. Yeah.
Do they buy someone else, right? I think, is it, was it around 50 million pounds?
I think it was more than that. I think it was...
Was it? That's a lot.
I'm going to check it. I thought it was,
50, 60 or 70 or something in that region. And that's a lot of money. And he, of all
55 million pounds. Yeah,
55. So, yeah. So, of all teams, he went to Tottenham.
Yeah.
And now, that's also surprising.
It hurts a little bit more, yeah. I loved Kudus in his first couple of seasons. I was really excited about him. And I think he's a fantastic player. He's the typical player that will be really good for any other team, Tottenham in this case.
Yeah.
He didn't quite do it for West Ham last season. I think he was always, we always just expected a little bit more from him, and he didn't quite make it. He didn't quite kick on.
It seemed to me like he didn't try hard enough at some point, like he sort of gave up.
Right? Yeah. He's a very skillful player, and he's got a great shot on him. And I think he'll be great for Tottenham, unfortunately. But it's one of those things. I don't think he would have developed much more at West Ham. So I'm sad to see him go, but I'm really sad the fact that we can't develop players like that. The players that seem to, I don't know if they're not interested in doing it for West Ham or
I don't know. But like, to me, he didn't seem like a team player. So it looked like all the time he played on himself, like he only dribbled, didn't pass the ball at all. And I think some of his teammates might have been a bit frustrated about that. So from that point of view, maybe this is a healthier situation for you. You will see. Only time will show if this was the right move for West Ham or not.
Yeah, and we got quite decent money for it. So I think we made a bit of a profit. And it depends how they spend the money. But I think this is Graham Potter's first full season in charge. So now a lot of players have left. They've just their contracts weren't renewed. Like Fabianski, it was quite sad. Cresswell had been at West Ham for over 10 years, I think, and Fabianski a long time. Vlad.
Vladimir Sofal,
Sofal, sorry.
And the striker, what's his name?
Antonio. Antonio
as well, yeah.
Yeah, he's...
What about that striker? What's his name? Oh, my God. From Aston Villa. Can't remember his name now.
From Aston Villa.
That striker that didn't play much. He was always on bench.
Oh, Danny Ings.
Danny Ings, yeah. He did play for Aston Villa, right? I think so.
Yeah, he played for Southampton Villa. Yeah, I think Villa for a bit. It was at Liverpool. I can't remember who we signed him from. But I think we had to let those players go. I mean, it was like, thank you very much for your service, but now's the time to go. And I think that was kind of a clean out a little bit. And now Potter
getting rid of the dead wood, as they say.
Exactly.
But how about Tomáš Souček? Because to me, it looks like the captain of the Czech national team doesn't have the same kind of position as he used to have in the previous seasons, because it turns out that he doesn't start games in preseason. So what's going on there? Is he getting phased out of the team, of the first team?
It's just Potter's trying different formations. I don't know what the idea is. I mean, we have a lot of midfield players, and it's difficult. Souček he's been great for West Ham, and hopefully he will continue to be great for West Ham, and because he scores goals and he's integral to the team. So I don't know. I don't know what Potter's thinking there, because he's a survivor. Souček is all the...
Yeah, he's always staying positive. Like, I think even if he really starts on bench, he will be positive. He won't grumble. And that's him. That's his personal... Yeah. He's a professional. He's a true professional. And I think what might happen is after a few bad games, he will be back in the starting 11, because that's the kind of guy he is. He never gives up. He's always... there and thereabouts, and it's just Tomáš Souček for you. And when you need goals, you can always rely on him. So I don't know what to think about this. Even some Czech fans are divided on him, which is a surprise. It's like it's also kind of like 50-50 in the Czech sort of football environment.
Yeah, no, he's proven himself. I think we spoke about this before. He just doesn't look like a typical football player, and the way he moves. So I think that is quite
awkward.
It's quite awkward. But he gets the job done, and you can't argue with what he's done over the last few years. So I don't know. Sometimes Paquetá, it can be extremely frustrating. He's, you know, he's got the skills. It's almost the opposite to Souček.
Yeah.
He's very skillful, very natural football player. Exactly. But sometimes he doesn't perform. He's a bit temperamental. Yeah. One game he could be the man of the match, and the next game he disappears. But Souček is always there, always performing.
Always stable.
Yeah. So I don't know what will happen with Souček in the future, but hopefully he'll continue to. I mean, it's going to take. There are a lot of changes at West Ham, so it's going to take some time. We probably won't start the season that well. We probably won't finish it very well either. But
yeah,
who knows? Hopefully, the jury is still out with Potter, because he didn't have a good season last year. I think he's got the worst statistics of any West Ham manager in the last. Well, I can't remember what it was, but we've lost more games, or he's got the worst win to lose ratio of any. Yeah. West Ham manager, I think, something like that. So, but I think we have to be patient. We have to give him a full season and see if he can make it happen. I mean, I'm not convinced, but I'm patient, I think. And I think West Ham fans and have a bad reputation because of the Moyes situation, when it's like, you know, he did well for us, but in the end we wanted him out because he wasn't taking us to the next level. But generally, West Ham fans are quite patient with their managers. We've had very long-term managers. So I think most West Ham fans would want Potter to be given a full season to show what he can do. Unless we're sort of in the relegation zone in March, then we'd have to think about.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, good luck to West Ham. And I think we also have to ask you about the Fantasy Premier League. Do you play it?
I do, yeah. I've chosen my team already, although I may make some tweaks over the next few days before it starts. But
good old FPL, yeah. So here's the link. If any of you want to join the Footglitch Podcast Mini League, it's 5VT960, 5 small V, small T, 96, small O. Or you can join through this link. It's also in the description of this episode. Okay, Ben, any last words before the start of the season?
No. Well, good luck to everyone's team. Hopefully, West Ham don't get relegated. And if we can get anywhere near Europe, then I'll be happy. But try and enjoy. I just hope it's more entertaining than last year. I found it quite boring last year, but hopefully there'll be more attacking football and a bit more interesting. But maybe it's because I'm a West Ham fan that I found it so boring, because it was a pretty boring season for us.
Let's have a good season, whether you are a fan of one of the Premier League clubs or neutral. It's still an exciting league to watch, of course. So let's have some fun.
Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Ben, for being a guest on the Footglitch Podcast. And if any of you guys need to study for the first certificate or CAE or the CPE exams, then Ben is your guy. Check out his YouTube channel, To The Point English, with Ben.
Thank you, Zdenek.
Lovely to have you back, and take care, Ben.
Cheers. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Welcome back to the Language Corner. If this is your first time listening, then let me tell you what this is. Basically, this is a segment of this show, the second part of this show, where I showcase my teaching skills. That's right, I'm an English teacher, so I have to teach you something. I still want this podcast to be more about football than about explaining grammar, vocabulary, and whatnot. But also, you have to learn something from this, right? So today, I'm going to keep it short and sweet, and that's because I think the interview was quite long. So let's have a look at one little phrasal verb. This is what Ben said when we were talking about Lucas Paqueta. He said, we were going to sell him to Man City for a lot of money, but it fell through due to the charges. So we are looking here at the phrasal verb to fall through. So the situation was that Lucas Paqueta was worth a lot of money, and Manchester City wanted to buy Lucas Paqueta from West Ham United, And I think West Ham United were prepared to let Lucas Paqueta go. However, it didn't happen. It didn't materialize. And the reason for it was the charges, because suddenly out of nowhere, there was this spot-fixing or match-fixing scandal that Lucas Paqueta was allegedly involved in, and therefore his price went down, rapidly went down, and suddenly Man City were not interested in him anymore. The plan fell through, or what they were negotiating, the negotiations fell through. If something falls through, usually it's a plan or negotiations or something like that, then it means it does not happen. It does not materialize. It fails, right? Usually we really use this phrasal verb with the word plan. Okay, so that's the phrasal verb for today. That's the phrasal verb of the day, if you want. And all that remains to say is thank you very much for listening and watching, everyone. Don't forget to smash that like button. It is something that you need to do right now, because obviously it will make me super happy. Anyway, I'm rambling. It's high time this podcast episode came to a close. Let me wrap it up. Thank you very much for watching and listening. And until next time, bye-bye.